This is actually a very funny thing. So in the Philippines, by the way, if it's your birthday, you are expected to spend for the group meal or for going out. People are egging you to like give them a free meal because it's your birthday. It's so funny and it's so weird. And it's totally the opposite because if it's your birthday, then you should be celebrated. People should be pitching in for your meal. I have heard super funny stories about people feeling bad that their rich friend did not cover the dinner or something like that. Like if you all ate and enjoyed the dinner, then all of you should pay. All of you should come to the dinner expecting to pay.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcast, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new client. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious marketing and management tasks in your agency for less than $15 an hour, fully managed. When you're tired of hiring cheap, unreliable talent, check out ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune into None of Your Business. New episodes monthly.
Are you spending too much money on ads? Want to increase your average order value? Are you eyeing that big exit from your business? Or have you been wondering how you can increase your lifetime value, build a community, and basically make more money through customer loyalty and retention? Let us help. Huckleberry Consulting brings over a decade of experience in client and customer success from the world's biggest companies. Let your customers tell you what they want. Visit consulthuckleberry.com to claim your free audit and quit leaving money on the table. Once again, that's consulthuckleberry.com. See you there.
Hey guys, good morning. This is Carla and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. Our episode today is a solo episode and this topic is actually really close to my heart because it's all about growing up Filipino and tackling some of our toxic Filipino money mindsets, some of the things that we practiced or that we were made to believe since we were kids, and some of the behaviors that we've also kind of brought into our adulthood. And in a way, it has become a source of toxic experiences in certain relationships in the workplace, and even how we deal with our friendships and our siblings and some of our relatives, and sometimes some of our experiences with the public. So actually, speaking of the public, this is inspired by one of my posts on Threads that got a few, not a few, but several upvotes actually, but someone was talking about toxic Filipino mindsets that they've left behind, or how do you deal with entitled relatives and friends? So one thing that I discussed in that thread is that when I started to make some money, I made it publicly clear that I'm not lending money to anyone. I've just had so many experiences of, trying to help other people, and I would lend money to someone and then it would always be my problem because it would always turn out to be eventually my problem because now it's so much trouble to try to get the payment back from them. So most of the time, instead of me just getting the payment seamlessly and as expected, I would have to follow up multiple times. I would have to try to chase them. And it's so hard for me to do that right now because I'm out of the country. And honestly, I just have no desire. We have a lawyer on retainer as our family lawyer. And this attorney helps us send demand letters and things like that. But it's just a lot of work to do for a weird punishment of trying to be kind, trying to help others. So I now make it publicly clear that I don't lend money. I don't lend money to anyone, not even to my siblings who are the closest people to my heart, unless they really need it. So for example, one of my sisters wanted to start a business. She wanted to borrow money. So I told her to make a business plan and to make a proposal on how much she will be paying in interest and I helped her out. And it was an investment into her business, and of course, I was trying to help her out. Sometimes when my sisters need a little bit of money, they would just ask, and they would tell me about their situation. But by the way, this rarely happens. This very rarely. It doesn't even happen like once a year. But if, you know, money's tight and they have some unexpected bills, they would ask for help, and I would listen to them, and then I would help. And most of the time, I would give money that I can comfortably part ways. I would just treat this in my mind as a donation. And when I go out with friends or family, I'm not the type of person to pay for everything or cover dinners and things like that. I have successfully, thankfully, trained people that are close to me that they cannot take from me, and so they won't. They don't. I don't have relatives that are abusive. I do understand that emergencies happen, and sometimes you just need a little bit of help. I mean, I've been there too, trust me. Both of my parents have been in hospitals, and especially when it happened to my dad, I was very young. I was 22, and I really didn't have a lot of money, and I was the eldest child, and so my younger siblings also didn't have money. And so I had to borrow money from people. I had to work hard. I had to, in a way, even like ask for payment for things I haven't even delivered. Like I pre-sold some of my services. I pre-sold some of my time just so we could make the hospital payments. And, you know, that can happen to anyone. And even in my own team and in my own business, I have a cash advance policy. And it has certain limitations. They can only borrow up to a month's worth of their salary. And of course, they have to justify it. We're not just going to approve everything and everyone. And they have to pay it through a particular salary deduction. So it's a cash advance. It's not a loan. Meaning if you already loaned your money and took it as a cash advance, then you will receive zero for your next pay because you already took an advance. So for me, it's very important to have these boundaries around money. And also it's equally just as important to understand someone's boundaries because one's relationship with money and one's experiences are very, very different from one another. And it is very bizarre how people actually reach to how they treat money based on the experiences that they had in the past. Sometimes it's very unexpected. Like when you meet me for the first time, no one would probably even think that I've experienced all of the stuff I experienced in my life and all of the financial hardships I experienced. But now I'm in a particular position. I have a few businesses that are making pretty good money that will make me and my husband comfortable. My husband makes good money and I don't have to work. And we have also have invested in a few things that are also paying us back right now. And we've made some good decisions in the past that are really serving us right now. We also work outside of the country. We are based overseas and not in the Philippines anymore. But it is very known in the Philippines for certain thoughts and certain customs that for me are just very toxic in terms of dealing with money and dealing with certain money mindsets. And I'm going to tackle a few of them in this sweet and short podcast episode just so I can get this off my chest. And if you're a Filipino, if you're an overseas Filipino worker, if you're a Filipino business owner, and if you resonate with anything that I'm sharing here, please feel free to drop a comment on Spotify or in Apple Podcasts, or send me a DM on any of my social media accounts. I would love to hear your thoughts and also learn from you. And if you like the episode today, and if you feel like this could also help or be appreciated with someone close to you, I would also appreciate it if you share this episode with them. First is the padala pressure or financial self-sabotage. So many Filipinos or overseas Filipino workers face constant pressure to send money back home, even at the expense of their own financial stability. I remember this very vivid memory of being in Las Vegas, and I was in this place called Seafood City, which is a Filipino slash Asian, but mostly Filipino grocery store and food court. And it's such a nice place because you can buy the things that you miss from back home. And I was at the food court and we were choosing among these like meat viands and these meals. And I saw someone who was asking many questions about how this would cost, how much this combo would cost. Would it be cheaper if she got this pair instead? How about if I buy the combo without the drink? I could really feel that she was really trying to save every penny. And I felt that pain. I felt that pain of putting your family first and feeling that pressure to send money back home, even if you're living in a very high cost of living place, much higher than the Philippines, and sometimes at the expense of your own financial stability. I literally saw people in the States compare the price of ramen or like noodles, like cup noodles, or like those instant noodles in a sachet, literally by the cent, comparing the prices with each other. Obviously, they're not comparing probably for nutrition value because they have none, but they were really trying to save money, and I could see it, and I could just feel it. So this put a lot of pressure, or like financial self-sabotage that a lot of OFWs or overseas Filipino workers are experiencing, creates a cycle where your personal savings, your retirement plans, and your investments are sacrificed just to meet the never-ending expectations of sending money back home. And this is very dangerous. This mindset is very dangerous because you may think that you are helping your family members, but actually you are enabling them. So in my opinion, what would be better is definitely put yourself first, because you are also saving for a particular future where you can help them more and you can be in a better position to provide something more lasting, like wealth into your family. If you have personal savings, if you have a proper retirement plan, and if you have investments. Because get this, if you get sick and you don't have savings, or if you want to retire but you can't, it's not sure if these people that you're supporting will help you. Like, that's just a big gamble. Like, sure, you love them and they love you, but honestly, this should not come in expense of your personal safety, financial safety. Especially as an overseas Filipino worker, especially as immigration laws can change, or even now in 2025, where there are a lot of layoffs happening, and you're not even secure of your job. So definitely put yourself first, and always think the more that you help is the more that you also enable. Definitely put some boundaries on how much you can help. But this doesn't mean that you have to be greedy. Next toxic Filipino money mindset is getting in debt for status. So I spent my high school in Cebu City, Philippines, which is a very, very famous city for celebrating fiestas, or these patron saint feasts. So in certain towns, each town would have a particular patron saint. And during the feast of that patron saint, this is such a Catholic thing to say. I don't even know the last time I said the words patron saint. I think I was in high school. But it is a part of our culture when it's the feast of a particular saint, you have a celebration in your house. You cook, you open your home to everyone, and you cook a lot of food. And in Cebu, particularly, because Cebu is famous for lechon, or the whole roast pig, which is pretty expensive. I think the cheapest would be like $60, and that's like a baby pig, or maybe just the belly of the pig, but the whole pig is probably $300, 15,000 pesos right now. And so it is actually very common, as I was growing up, as I was young, to see people borrow money just to host certain lavish fiesta celebrations. And it's not just fiesta or these feasts, but people overspend on birthdays. A lot of couples go into debt just to have their dream wedding. And my mother, I even saw my mother overspend for my sister's debut, because they just really want to give my sister's, great experiences. And I'm sure mine was also expensive for that time. I'm sure my parents also overspent for my own party. And I wish that, at that time I was young, and in that moment, I totally even felt like I deserved more, which is very bad mindset. But looking back, now that I'm the one making money and like trying to budget, that was probably not a very wise thing to do at that time. And so when my youngest sister was having her 18th birthday, thankfully I was in the events industry, and a lot of my friends helped out. But a lot of people borrow money just so they can have these lavish celebrations because it's a status thing. And it's the same thing as buying high status items, buying iPhones, and being in debt. A lot of Filipinos do this for sure. And using services such as home credit just to buy expensive things that are not needed. And the deep end of this mindset is it's tied to shame or hiya, as we call it in our language, and keeping up with appearances or pakitang tao, as we say it in our language. So there is a silent like debt epidemic caused by trying to keep up with social images. And as Filipinos, I think as Asians as well, it's just like a thing to show off. And it's also like a thing to like show people that you've made it. And there's many ways that people do it. And two of the most famous ways is trying to host a lavish celebration as like a show to the society that you've made it. And also buying a lot of high status items, branded items that you can't really afford just so you can show everyone that you've made it. So the advice here is simple. Don't do that. Don't go into debt. There's not a better feeling than going to sleep knowing that you don't have debt. And if you do want to go into debt, as in like use your credit card, maybe always make sure that you can pay in full at the end of the month or that you have a really sound and really comfortable payment plan. If this is really something that you want to do, because I'm not going to shame guys trying to save up for an engagement ring or couples trying to budget everything and getting their dream wedding, as long as it's not going to put you in extreme hardship, just so you can make something happen. And lastly, if it's not reflective of your actual financial status, there is no point in doing it. I cannot probably find the perfect word to say it, but like in Filipino, like makibagay ka or makilugar ka, like find your place. You don't have to throw a wedding that looks like a millionaire's wedding if everyone knows that you work a particular job and you make a particular amount of money. There is no need to prove yourself to other people when they already know who you are. That's what I'm trying to say. The next toxic Filipino mindset in money is the lack of financial planning and the bahala na attitude. Bahala na means I'm just gonna let it be, right? Or sometimes this also is a version of some sort of misguided spirituality, thinking that God will always provide, right? So that's wrong. So the cultural tendency to leave things to fate or saying bahala na often translates to poor saving habits, lack of emergency funds, or the worst is no retirement plans. It seems that a lot of Filipinos I've also noticed is they are actually operating on a very scary situation where they just have they're literally walking on that narrow line of like one medical emergency could completely drive them into debt and ruin their whole future. So this is a version of like cultural fatalism that also feeds financial vulnerability. So I really, really wish that more people can really pay attention to having savings, having emergency funds, having retirement plans, having more plans for the future, because I just see a lot of people having a very happy-go-lucky attitude towards life. And yes, it's nice. It's nice to be optimistic and positive, but because they're so positive, they're misguided, and it translates to a very bad version of financial vulnerability. Number four is the libre culture or guilt-based generosity. A lot of people, this is actually a very funny thing. So in the Philippines, by the way, if it's your birthday, you are expected to spend for the group meal or for going out. People will say libre, which is funny because it means like free, right? But people are egging you to like give them a free meal because it's your birthday. It's so funny and it's so weird. And it's totally the opposite because if it's your birthday, then you should be celebrated. People should be pitching in for your meal. And so the higher version or the deeper version of this is a lot of people are expecting their most financially successful family member or friend to always pay for the group meals, trips, or shared expenses. So I have heard super funny stories about people feeling bad that their rich friend did not cover the dinner or something like that. This reinforces a very unhealthy money dynamic where boundaries are blurred and they're not respected. Like if you all ate and enjoyed the dinner, then all of you should pay. All of you should come to the dinner expecting to pay. But sometimes there is an unwritten understanding, or that they assume that you would understand. If you're like the financially successful family member, they would think that you understand that you're the one covering the meal. So I'm not gonna lie, in there were some gatherings where I've experienced this, and I don't hang out with those people anymore. Or I try to get like something back in different ways. Like if they expect me to cover dinner, obviously if I want to cover dinner, I will say it outwardly. But if I don't and they kind of expected me to, I would say, okay, then you pay for the taxi, or you get next time, or something like that. I always say something that would make it kind of equal. So, but also I admit that in a way, I might have been people pleasing and I should have said no in some of those instances. But then it also, again, made me feel a little bit ashamed because I'm making more than them and I don't want them to feel bad. But really, I should have just enforced, as they say, be kind but be firm, my boundaries, my financial boundaries. And the last angle that I want to share is inheriting poverty through unspoken obligations. So, in the Philippines, and I guess in Asia, there's a cultural norm of the eldest child or the successful sibling, doesn't matter if they're the eldest or the youngest, being the family's lifetime provider. So, yes, there was a time when I was my family's main provider and breadwinner, as they say. And also, we need to really stop over celebrating breadwinners. So, breadwinners are amazing because they have the generosity and the leadership to do this, but we also have to consider that a lot of these people, it's not their choice to be the breadwinner. It definitely wasn't my choice. But I'm happy I did it because I love my sisters and I love my parents and I want them to feel proud of me, all of them to feel proud of me, and I want to honor my parents' hard work. And honestly, now I don't mind so much, although sometimes I feel like I'm still processing a lot of those feelings. But thankfully, my sisters are really awesome people and they have had supported themselves for a very long time now. In fact, they actually buy me stuff and they also make sure to give back. My sisters are now equally just as successful. They have their own careers, own businesses, their own families. And I'm really happy that we got to this point, but not a lot of families get to that point. Not a lot of siblings feel enough motivation to even work as hard as how my sisters work, because sometimes a lot of families are over dependent on their breadwinner. So, this situation, if you don't deal with it, or if the other siblings don't like work hard enough, it leads to burnout, it leads to resentment, and also the inability of the breadwinner to build personal wealth, which of course they also very greatly deserve. So if you feel like you're in this situation, or your family's in a situation that you're approaching that breadwinner mentality, whatever you can do to stop that from happening, if you're the sibling that is a breadwinner, if you can encourage or have that conversation with your siblings that you're not going to do this forever, give them a limitation and then tell them when their turn is and when your turn is to be the one to be taken care of, right? So I think that's fair to do that. And of course, we just have to stop this generational cycle of financial dependency. I think it will be good for everyone. So, for now, those are the things that I could think about. I really am very passionate about this topic because I now coach a lot of online business owners that are Filipino, they're growing their own businesses, and they're experiencing this new portion of their life where they are achieving very good financial status and they want to take good care of their wealth, but also they want to show up for their families, show up for their friends, and really have that emotional security of having these relationships intact, and also financial security. So if you like this episode, I hope that you share it with anyone who's close to your heart. And if you want more of these, and if you want first dibs, you can sign up for my newsletter at carlasingson.com. You can easily find it there, or you can like and follow me on Facebook, Carla Singson. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you in the next few Mondays for another episode of None of Your Business. Thank you. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.